Accession number 30649, Mr. Ted Hill, Real Troll. Now, you said you moved into Drake Barracks. When would you do that?
That was about 6 weeks, probably in early September time.
And what was life in, like in there? That's while he was still working on the ships.
Yeah, and we used to march down to the ship each day because the barracks was adjacent to the dockyard. And the last bits, you know, painting decks and all that were done, and that last bit. The boats were preserved. The engines were cocooned in the boats, I seem to remember, to preserve them. Because when it's all done, the ship's towed out to a buoy in the river, and it's just visited to make sure it's okay each day and no leaks and things like that. It'd be a great embarrassment if it sank. So they're checked every day. And I remember the last bit, we were alongside HMS Roberts, which was one of the old monitors, they called them. They had a massive great gun on them and flat bottoms. They could go under their own power, but they could sink them onto the mud as a solid platform to bombard. And they had a massive gun on it, you know, about a 16-inch gun. And she was the last one, the Roberts, and we were alongside that for a time in Devonport Dockyard. But it was good down there. I mean, it was a change from Chatham, although we wasn't very popular with the Janners, the old Devonport ratings, because I think the girls liked the London boys down there. But we used to go for weekends to places like Torquay, where they had a sailor's home. We could stay Saturday night, Sunday night. It was only a bus ride from Devonport. But life was nice. It was a lovely summer that year, 53, I remember. Right at the end, I was confirmed as a leading hand, because I was still local right until the end. And I think it was right at the end of 53. Oh, it says November 53, acting LSM on the Belfast. Must have been November we came back to Chatham, not October. Yeah, I came back to Chatham on the 2nd of December. So I was on the ship from the 28th of November 49 until the 1st of December 53.
Now, how did you feel about leaving the ship after all that time?
I was pleased to go, actually, because we were so far from home and we couldn't go home from Devonport. And in those days, a train took 8 hours to get to London. And we couldn't travel on the fast train, which was the Cornish Riviera, because they wouldn't take our cheap tickets on it, because we travelled at a third of the price. And I'm not sure if it was the Cornish Riviera used to take 8 hours and the others took longer. I do remember it took about 36 hours to come back to Chatham from Devonport, because they, being a lot of us, they bought a passenger train into the dockyard with coaches for luggage. We put all our hammocks and kit bags and suitcases. We had two packed meals issued, and we all got on this train, and I'd never been on a troop train as such before, and I learnt a lot about it, that any train, if there's a troop train on the line and another train's behind it, they put you in a siding to let them all past. So we spent more time in blinking sidings than we did on the railway. And it took 36 hours. And they took the train into Chatham Dockyard. And we marched from there into the barracks on the 2nd of December 1953. So it was actually a bit over 4 years I was on there.
Now, what happened when you got to... What were you going to do when you got to HMS Pembroke? Well, to the barracks.
Well, you do a joining routine, as you always do. Go round all the departments. You have a medical and all that. And when you're through all that, you go on to the work routines of the barracks. Because you're not idle hands in there. They find everybody jobs to do.
So what did they put you on?
I was on coaling party.
Tell me about that.
Well, I was a leading hand then, so I was in charge of this. There was four stoker mechanics, and I was in charge. And I used to have to march these four blokes from the barracks, right through the barracks and into the dockyard. And we had our own little shed and a great big heap of coke. And we used to have to fill bags of coke for delivery to all the offices in the barracks, because they all had coal and coke-fired open fires in all these offices. And we used to supply them. And we had our little shed as our caboose with a little pot-bellied stove in it that we used to flash up every day to keep warm. But I was on that. I don't know, it wasn't a terrible long time. Well, I went on Christmas leave while I was in there, so I had 2 weeks leave between the 2nd of January. No, the 2nd of December to the 15th of January. So I was in there about 6 weeks. And I was drafted to HMS Cockatrice.
HMS Cockatrice?
Cockatrice. Cockatrice.
And what type of ship?
That was a minesweeper. An Algerine class minesweeper. Which was the biggest we had, minesweepers.
And where did you join? What were your first impressions on Joy? Where did you join? Was she at Chatham?
She was in Chatham. It's a Chatham ship.
And what did you think of it?
It was great to go on a small ship after 4 years on the Belfast. You know, the routines were much more relaxed. And
now, what was she like? Can you describe her as a minesweeper? What was she like?
Well,
she's not as well known a ship as the...
Well, it's an unusual name, isn't it, Cockatrice? Which I always thought it was an unusual name till I went in the museum in Chatham Dockyard a few years ago after it had closed. I went in the museum part and I told them I was on an unusual ship called the Cockatrice. And this bloke smiled. He said, I'll go and get you a copy of the ship's crest. And he came back and he had a list of all the ships that had been named Cockatrice over the years, and the one I was on was the 9th. Now that's more than the Ark Royal or them famous ships, that there was 9 Cockatrices in the Navy. There hasn't been one since, but...
And what was she like? How big was she compared to the Belfast? Much smaller, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, it was miniature compared to the Belfast. The ship's company on there was about 80 officers and men. I think there was 5 officers, and the men, the POs and chiefs didn't have enclosed messes on there, on the Cockatrice, like they did on the Belfast. You'd never see their messes, but on the Cockatrice, it wasn't big enough to have enclosed messes, so their messes were there, and we used to have to walk through to get to various places on the ship. The stoker's mess deck was down aft, and the next compartment to us was the diesel generators for the minesweeping gear. But we had our mess deck, I think there was about 18 stokers on there.
And what was your mess deck like? How did it compare? Or was it just the same when you actually got in it?
Well, no, I mean, it had a bit more character than the ones on the Belfast. It was L-shaped, because a quarter of the space was taken up with an enclosed mess, which was the only one on the ship, and that was the ERAs. There was four ERAs, a chief and three others ERAs. And our mess, we had like an L-shaped bit. It was the full width of the ship, which wasn't all that much. I mean, probably about 30 feet. I think they weighed... Well, the ship's displacement was, I think it was 900 tonnes or 1,000 tonnes, something like that.
Now, what was the... So can you describe the mess deck in any more detail? Or?
Yeah, there was two tables on the big bit, and on the leg was an L shape. There was one table in there. There was a ladder came down from the main deck into the middle of it, and there was a door behind us on that, the after bulkhead, which went into the diesel room. But everybody knew everybody on there, and you mixed more with the seamen and everybody else than you did on the Belfast, because all the messes were open.
Was it a happy ship?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it really was. And we used to go to places. Dinelda was a favourite.
Now, hang on. So which squadron were you with? Because they had minesweeper squadrons, didn't they? Were you with one, or were you independent?
No, we were... The Cockatrice was under Mars, which was the reserve fleet at Harwich. And their accommodation ship was like our headquarters, because we were based at Harwich. When we left Chatham after the leave period, we went to Harwich. And we used to go out from Harwich.
So you were in the reserve fleet, but you were active?
No, we wasn't in the reserve fleet. Their accommodation ship was also our headquarters, because there was no buildings ashore in Harwich which were naval, like barracks or anything like that. There was a tiny little bit.
So were you in an actual squadron then?
Yeah.
Can't remember it.
It doesn't.
Doesn't matter. They can look it up. So when you moved to Harwich, so tell me a bit about what your duties were I'm not quite sure your rank now.
Well, I was a leading hand. I was a leading stoker mechanic then.
Now, what were what were duties like on the Cockatrice as a leading stoker mechanic?
Well, I was in the engine room on the Cockatrice, and it was rather a unique engine room on the Cockatrice because it was the only one in the flotilla, and there was eight of us, eight minesweepers. The leader was the Bramble, HMS Bramble, who carried a full captain. And the Cockatrice, the main engines were open reciprocated engines. There was others in the flotilla that had closed reciprocating engines, which are a bit more modern. And there was about two of them that had steam turbines as engines, because the Algerines were built all over the place. And the engines depended, I think, where it was built.
So what were your duties in the engine room?
In the engine room, there would be a tiffy, myself, and a stoker. And when the ship was manoeuvring, I would be on one engine throttle and the tiffy would be on the other, because one bloke couldn't handle the two. So I had to, the tiffy sort of showed me what to do, trained me actually. how to manipulate the engines, because it was, the difficult thing was when you had to go astern, you had to reverse the valve gear, you know, and you had to do this and open that and close this, pull a lever and then start the engine again, and it would go in the opposite direction. But they were completely open, these engines. You could see them, you know, all the pistons, the big ends. They were water cooled, and the water drained into the bilges. And we had a little generator down there, which I used to look after. The stoker was like a general dog's body. He used to go around taking the temperatures and recording them all, cleaning up, making the tea, and all that. And I was like a throttle watch keeper. And that was my job. And in harbour, I went on the diesel generator, the big diesel generator, which was in a separate compartment. The one in the engine room was a little steam-driven generator, a small one, because it's only a small ship. But there was a bigger diesel generator that supplied the whole ship when we were in harbour with everything. And I was watch-keeping on that, what they called 24 about, afternoon dogs and morning, and the next time you'd be afternoon dogs, no, afternoon first and morning, and dogs middle and forenoon watches. And they used to alternate with either 24 off or 32 off in between each session. But that was in harbour. I loved that ship. I really did.
Now, why did you like it so much?
Well, you had a lot more responsibility on a small ship. Like, I would have never, as a leading hand, I would have never been a throttle watch keeper on any ship of any size, even a destroyer. And I was on a destroyer after the Cockatrice, when I'd qualified for PO, and I still wasn't allowed to touch things like the throttles. But on there, I was a throttle watch keeper, you know.
So you enjoyed the responsibility?
Yeah. And the trust. And we had some nice trips on there.
So what were you doing? Were you actually mine sweeping? Or were you?
Oh yeah, we did sweep live mines off the Dutch coast occasionally. They used to find them, and we used to go
in that sort of North Sea area.
Yeah, and we used to go out practicing most days. Go out from Harwich into the Channel and practice mine sweeping and various evolutions, and always we'd come back to harbour to be in harbour for between 4 and 5 o'clock. And they used to line the flotilla up at sea, and we used to race back. And they used to line up these 8 minesweepers. And when the Captain M, who was on the Bramble, Captain Minesweeper, used to lower a flag, we'd all go away like the clappers. And the Cockatrice was always the one in front, because these open recips, you could just open the throttles full and bang, you was away. Whereas turbines were slow to wind up. You couldn't open those wide in one go. And the enclosed reciprocating engines were a bit slower than the open ones like the Cockatrice. We were always last in, but we were always first away on the race, and gradually the others. And the turbines always won. I mean, the actual race was between the two ships that had turbines. That was something we used to do. And we visited London, actually, 8 of us. And 2 of us went into the upper pool. And I laid on the buoy about where the Belfast is now. on the cockatrice. There was two of us together there on a buoy. Straight opposite the tower pier. And that's, we laid there.
Where the Belfast is.
Yeah. Where the Belfast is now. And we had a marvellous week in London. I mean, this was 1954. Theatres all sent tickets for shows on board. All the London breweries sent invitations. Every afternoon we go to a different brewery and drink as much as you like. God, we had a marvellous time up in London.
What were you meant to be doing, really? Or was it
showing the flag.
Showing the flag.
Yeah. I mean, these days, warships come up there 3 days, bang, they're out. Only ever visit for 3 days anywhere. But we came up for a week, and we really had a good time. And when we went out, when we got into the Thames estuary, we lined up in two lines, four minesweepers in a line, and we all had to clear lower deck and fall in on the upper deck in proper uniform. And the Royal Yacht had just been commissioned then, and it was coming up to London for the first time for the Royal Family to have a look at it, I suppose. And it steamed between us. You know, there's two lines. It's like a salute to the Royal Yacht. Because the Royal Yacht, the captain of the Royal Yacht was always an admiral, a rear admiral.
That's the Britannia, is it?
That was the Royal Yacht Britannia, just built, first trip, and it was coming up to London to meet the Royal Family. And we met it. After that, the cockatrice was detached from Mars, which was the Harwich thing, and we came under the Mull of Galloway, which was another depot ship, but it became our headquarters because we went on fishery protection from April till September.
And which port were you based at then? Well, is that a port, Mull?
Yeah, Mull of Galloway was a ship.
So which port were you in?
It was still Harwich, but we were never at Harwich.
So tell me about the fishery protection duties.
We went up north to Iceland. We used to go into Reykjavik for breaks. And the Icelanders were very friendly in those days. This was before the Cod Wars. 1954, and we used to go out in the British fishing fleets, and it was just a presence, you know, to show the flag.
So there wasn't any trouble with anyone at the time?
No, it was just no. What we used to do, we carried medical staff, and I think while we were on fishery protection, we carried a doctor. And if there was any accidents or whatever on any of the fishing boats, they would get in touch with us and we'd go to them and sort them out, or the doctor would. They would reward us with baskets of fish. And when we were sort of just patrolling around and some of the ammunition was reaching its sell-by date, like we carried depth charges for anti-submarine stuff. When they were reaching the end of their sell-by date, we used to go fishing. They used to use the sonar to plot shoals of fish, and they'd drop a couple of depth charges, and all these fish, cod, would come to the surface, you know, hundreds of them, and they'd launch the sea boat and go and pick up the biggest ones, you know, blinking great cod. And I got sick of fish up there. God, you know, we had so much fish. And we were on what they called canteen messing.
Can you explain how that works? Because this is the first time you've been on it, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, from all the other ships were general messing. To go on canteen messing, well, the Navy made an allowance each day, a daily rate per person to your mess for food. I forget the figures, but if you could economise, you accumulated money in the kitty because you wasn't buying it off the pusser. I mean, we didn't get the money, but say for a figure we were allowed, I don't know, 2 and 6 a day per person. We used to buy the stuff for breakfast and buy the stuff for dinners, and they would just charge it to our account. And at the end of the month, if you were in debt, you had to have a whip round in the mess to pay it off. Or if you were in pocket, they would give us the money and we'd share it out and in profit. Well, with all this fish, I mean, we were buying hardly anything off the Navy. We were living on fish, so we were getting a lot of money. And of course, when you're in harbour, 2/3 of the blokes would go ashore anyway, and they wouldn't have, say, dinner and supper and all that. So we wasn't buying food for that. So in harbour, you used to accumulate money as well into the committee, into the kitty. And it was great. And we used to go into Reykjavik.
Now, what was it like ashore at Reykjavik?
Oh, it was like a frontier town. I mean, it was the capital of Iceland, and as I remember it, the main road wasn't made up. It was like a dirt track. It was very expensive, and drink wasn't readily available, like beer. They used to drink some funny concoction there, and they showed us some Reykjavik, some Icelanders. They used to wear these big coats, and they had a special pocket each side, inside, that held a bottle. And it was this fire water that they used to drink in these bottles. And we were up there, I mean, it was summer, late summertime. Well, no, it was through the summer, April to September. And it only got sort of dusk for about, say, between 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock in the morning, and then it get light again. So it was virtually 24 hours of light. And if you were a watch keeper, you'd put your head on deck, say, at 1 o'clock in the morning, there'd be these Icelanders coming down to have a look at the ship. You know, do you want a drink, sailor? And they'd pull out a bottle from in their coats, which I tasted it. I couldn't drink the stuff.